南无释迦牟尼佛。阿弥陀佛。قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد بعد الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى اله وسلم اما بعد درش پڑھ
الحمد لله praise be to Allah every bounty treasure of Allah when we receive it first we should be thankful we should be grateful nothing is in our control we are not able to do anything we can't even move our finger, one finger without Allah's permission. This dunya, this world we're in is not in our control. We are following Allah's control. It looks like we think we are doing everything ourselves. Rather, it's Allah who's pulling the strings. Allah is pulling the strings. We are so grateful to Allah, His great mercy, His great bounty, His great favor on us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah most high, me, such a sinful person, Allah allowed me to sit amongst you, such good people, in a good gathering. And I'm very happy that in such a great gathering, the sunnah and sharia is visible in this gathering. May Allah Ta'ala give you blessings and mercies in your life. May Allah make your children pious, righteous, and allow them to follow this right path. That Allah Ta'ala has shown us this path. This is the way towards success and prosperity, my friends. It's a great blessing of Allah. It's His grace. It's not easy in this day and age, young children to practice the deen, to follow the deen. And the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's deen, this is a massive mercy of Allah. Massive mercy of Allah. We should value this. We should appreciate this. And we should be an example to the world. The generations that will come, we should be role models for them. Our lifestyle, our methodology is unique as Muslims. For us, role models, our role models are different. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned who is our role model. Allah Ta'ala, for us, the role model that He sent to us is not some minor example. All the prophets of Allah, He is the head of the prophets. He is our role model. This is a great honor that Allah has given to us, such a great status the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam attained. And we still imitate those who are away from the deen. We want to run after those who are away from Islam. We want their lifestyle. Very sad to say. Very sad. How Allah will be displeased with this. That I sent you as the ummah, the nation of my mahbub, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my beloved prophet. Just for one purpose that you have to do one thing. That you as Muslims are to imitate my beloved prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. Our biggest act of worship in our lives, my friends, is just this one thing. Our eating, drinking, standing, sitting, living, sleeping, traveling, meeting is not just one thing. Yes, just the physical appearance, no. Not our zahir, batin, internal, external, manners, conduct. We should follow and imitate the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the beloved of Allah. These people in the hereafter, they will own paradise. For those people, Allah has created paradise. For these people, that's why Allah, Imamul Anbiya, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will give water from the pond of Kawthar to those people to drink who followed him. For them is Jannah. For them is Allah. For them Allah Ta'ala has created this world, this universe. All these points that I'm saying, I'm not saying from my own end. This is Quran from Alif Lam Mim, Surah Baqarah till Surah Nas. Allah has given the same message. 1/3 of the Quran, 33% Allah is talking and mentioning His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today is a great night. It's a very blessed night. Now normally, alhamdulillah, which is my habit, is that after Isha every day we sit anyhow. And with the ability Allah's given, the strength Allah gives, the ability Allah gives in the jamaat, the form of an assembly, we do dhikr of Allah in a gathering. It's Allah's mercy in this masjid, regularly, daily. Allah's given us the permission. And even today, that's the same habit. We're following the same habit. But Mufti Sahib, he instructed me, ordered me that to speak, to say some words with regards to the greatness of this night. So I could not reject or refuse his request, because I am totally useless. I am not able to speak. But then I thought, okay, with this excuse I will invite all our friends from far and wide. And inshallah we'll have a good time together. And inshallah by seeing my friends and colleagues, my eyes will get coolness. There's a Farsi poem that you introduced me to my friend. May Allah Ta'ala give you blessings and good health. So this was the objective, that mashallah you could also join this gathering. But this is not a minor gathering. This night is very great that Allah has given to us. This night is so great with regards to the virtues. 17 companions have mentioned the virtues of this night in their narrations in the hadith. 17 sahaba. And many other mashayikh, pious predecessors, have explained the greatness and the emphasis, the fazilat of this night. There's difference of opinion. But with regards to virtues and blessings, this is a very great night. And it's got barakah, blessings, ni'mas, rewards, treasures. Everyone's agreed on this point. Hazrat Allama Shah Anwar Kashmiri Sahib, in his Sharah of Tirmidhi Sharif, he writes that this night is the night Kabir, great night, he said. Great night. And many other mashayikh, pious elders, scholars have written that this is a great night. There's lots of virtues for this night. And to gather together, this is ibadah. It's worship. So my colleagues, we have seen that Allah Ta'ala has given virtues, blessings to this night. I will share a few points with you. As I said, I'm not capable. I'm just sat here based on the request and instruction. What I've heard from the pious predecessors, myself, I will share with you. May Allah make this beneficial for me, and also may Allah make it beneficial for you. So that's the objective of us getting together, is that we hear and we implement practically. We learn something, we absorb it into our minds, we then go and implement it practically. So tonight, with the connection to this night, I will share some words with you, some points that I've heard from the pious predecessors myself. Fazilat, the virtues of this night is such that in this night, there's lots of blessings in this night. Lots of blessings. And the reality is this, that the blessings and the mercies, Allah Ta'ala hasn't just refined and restricted to this night in the year. We have great nights. We have months, great months. And we have days, great days. And we have nights, great nights. In the hours, we have great hours. We have minutes that are great. Allah Ta'ala's blessings and mercies, He spread it out far and wide. With regards to the virtues, is that when Allah Ta'ala gives special virtue and reward, then Allah's special mercy comes down at that time. For example, tonight, special Allah's attention is coming down on this night. So on this, the individual, the believer, takes grabs the opportunity, takes the benefit. Because you start with some good points, because that's what we sat here for. That we should do some good action, we should earn some reward. So it's the best chance to do some extra worship or an action or a deed. Fasting, we ain't going to do now, but reciting Quran, dhikrullah, or salat. So many actions we can do during the night. And we'll do that inshallah. So every night that Allah gives special, why do we do ibadah? Why do we go towards worship suddenly? The reason is this, that in these nights in which Allah's special attention is coming down, then the reward for ibadah increases. And the chance of acceptance increases. So the servant of Allah, he says, before morning comes, I'll go towards ibadah. He'll go to the prayer mat. He'll worship. He'll take the dhikr beads, tasbih. And we should do this. Tonight, this is also something we can do. And we have an opportunity in the blessed days, like the night of Jummah, the night of the Thursday night, the day of Jummah. We also do extra actions on that day. We try to do good deeds, better deeds. We read more, we pray more. It's a trend, it's a mindset. That whenever we see virtues, more rewards, we hasten towards that. So Allah's fazila is a lot in this night. Lots of virtues. We see this every day. That 5 times salah we pray in the day. 5 times salah we pray in the day. So those who come to pray salah, that hour, that moment when we pray salah is very elevated. It's the greatest time. In the eyes of Allah, in the whole day, that hour or those minutes that are portioned for salah, that is the greatest time. So there's no greater worship than salah at the time of salah. The 5 times of salah in the day. No greater ibadah. You give zakah, zakat, you can do recite Quran, read Quran, do sujood, other nafal. But ibadah at that time, the 2 fard of fajr, nothing can compare at that time. to the two brothers. You can do tawaf at that time. You can do any act of worship in the night, in the world. But that moment Allah's preferred for his salah, just 10 minutes, if you just pray that, pray two rakah and two rakah like this, Allah says that's the most beloved action for me. This is the time that I am preferring you to do this action. Whatever you ask, I'll give to you. Is this not the case? What do? We leave everything. And anyone who comes at that time, except that person that especially in the hadith is mentioned, what will we do? At that time, we will not leave that action at that time. We'll do the action that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed to us at that time. So now if somebody says that don't do this, your brother, you know, doing this at this time, you can do this at that time, you get more reward. You say, brother, it doesn't matter. Right now, at this time of salah, the objective Allah has given to me at right this time is that go and pray two rakah, four rakah, total salah, fajr time. That's the greatest deed at that time. Nothing can compare. We agreed on that? Okay, that's an example. Keep on listening what I'm saying. This is not a speech I'm giving. This is a discussion, some important points we take from tonight. So I'll give some examples before we go into that. So what does this mean? Well, I've just given the example, is that we, when Allah Ta'ala selects a special day or night or hour, we need to learn and understand and determine and do that action for which Allah has given that time. I'll come to the point so you'll understand what I'm saying. We should do the actions, implement those motions that Allah Ta'ala has given us the purpose of that day or night or hour. I'll give you another example. For example, a worldly example. If somebody gives you a car, a nice vehicle, and he says, drive this vehicle, transportation. And if you keep that car, you wash it, you clean it, you polish it all day, every day, all year, and you don't drive it. So is that, are you implementing that car the way it's designed? The purpose? You're just washing it. He will come back to you and say, have you used the car? You said, yeah, I got petrol, I cleaned every day. He said, are you driving it? No, I haven't driven it yet. He said, huh? But I gave you this car to drive it, to enjoy it, to fully utilize it, and you're not using it. So what's he done, that person? He didn't utilize it for the purpose it was designed. He's lost it. He's wasted it. Do you understand the example? Simple example. So everything, the value of something, the price tag on something, is if you use it, implement it, utilize it, the way it's been designed for its purpose. Okay, so fazilat, if Allah has given us something, immediately we do something when Allah has given us a night or a great day. We do ibadah, worship, praying, fasting, dua, etc. Alhamdulillah, we should do that. We should do that. Everyone should do that. Today is the night of Barat. Yes, the 15th night of Shaban. Great night. Great night. Lots of virtues in this night. Lot of reward for doing ibadah in this night. No doubt. No doubt. So what should we do? Immediately what we're doing in this night, we'll pray Salatul Tasbih, Salah, Quran, recite Quran, Duas, etc., etc. This is what we'll do, isn't it? Yeah? And we should do that. But are we utilizing this night for what its purpose is? Has anyone ever thought what is the purpose of this night? You understand the question I'm asking? This night that Allah has given to us, what is the purpose? For example, the objective is not this, that you do ibadah, worship, or you pray salatul tasbih, or you do dhikr, adhkar. Yes, these are all ibadat, like I said, without salah at the time of fajr. There's many other things you can do. But that salah that Allah has ordained and prescribed with the prayer, you cannot compare to that at the time of fajr or other times of salah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when Allah has given us this night, particularly, specifically, because I'm speaking on this night, so I'm referring to this night. So have we understood what is the purpose of this night? Have we ended blindly? Will come, I'll pray this much salah, I'll pray tahajjud, I'll do dua, because I want to get reward from Allah Ta'ala, I want to get thawab for this night. This is our objective, isn't it? Totally, we will get reward, you get all of these things, but I would like to explain that you will not attain the objective of this night. The objective of this night, you will not attain. If you haven't attained the objective, then you've wasted this night. You've wasted this night. And all your ibadah, your worship, you didn't do it for the purpose that Allah gave this night. So first and foremost, we need to understand, analyze and assess this night as it started. That what is the objective? What's the purpose Allah has given us this night? We need to attain that objective. It could be that there's an objective in this night that we don't realize. We're not aware of it and we'll waste this night. You're right? You understand what I'm saying? So tell me, what's the purpose of this night? Everyone will say praying, duas, and if I leave everyone free now, everyone will go and do sajda. Alhamdulillah, I say do this. We should do that. We should worship, but that's not the purpose of this night. It's not the purpose. You can fast, but it's not the purpose. The purpose, how do we realize what is the purpose of this night, my friends? How do we know? How can we learn? There's only one source. And who is that? Imamul Anbiya, Nabi Al-Kareem, the Holy Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his physical demonstration. From there we will learn what is the objective of anything we do in our lives. Understand the point? So what we need to see is that the Holy Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did he explain to us is the purpose of this night? What's the objective? Did he say to us, eat halwa, and eat food, go to the graveyard, do dua for those who have passed away, do ibadah all night long, recite Quran, prostrate? No. He didn't say that. Allah's Nabi, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he told us the objective of this night, that purpose, yes, we should do those things, but first put your objective in front of you before you do anything. When you attain, understand your objective, after that you should do ibadah, which will be focused on that objective. And there's thawab, there's reward. Definitely, because this night is full of blessings. But that objective, if you leave that and you shun that, and you put it at the side and do everything else, then you have wasted the opportunity. So understand the objective. So now, we will learn this from the Holy Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there's a hadith I will share with you in which there are various ulama, scholars, muhakkikin who have commentated in Tirmidhi. There's a hadith, and the narration of that hadith is, and it comes, it might be weak, it might be daif, but the principle of hadith that the scholars have said is that if there is an abundance of narration, even if they are daif and they're weak, and you put them together, then you can also use that for practical purposes. And despite that, away from that, in the fadail, even daif hadith are honorable, and they are elevated. They're still hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's the sahih hadith, authentic, where we implement them, we use them, that on the sharia points, on the amal of sharia, there we cannot utilize daif hadith. But for fadail virtues, we can utilize the daif hadith. We can share the daif hadith. So with regards to is to think that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did he say? The fadaili will come. Then with regards to the hadith, we need to assess. So I just want to clear your mind, oh, this is daif, this is weak, we can't practice this. No, we could, if you put the daif hadith together and they are competing and they are various, then they elevate in their status. So this is such a hadith which very clearly, and with regards to the night of Shab-e Barat, it explains to us what is the virtue of this night. As Aisha radiallahu anha narrates hadith in Tirmidhi, it's narrated. And the meaning of this hadith I'll share with you, because I've not sort of written it out in full, but I'll share with you the meaning of the hadith. So it was her turn that evening from the wives of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to stay with her that night. It was her turn, it was the night time. And various times, Hazrat Aisha, Sadiqa radhiyallahu anha, spent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent the night with her, and she observed that in the night when her eyes opened, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not on his bed. And before that, there were certain events like that that took place, and Hazrat Aisha, Sadiqa, she observed that same thing, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying down resting with her. And Aisha was very happy and very close. Obviously, they're laying down together. And then the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is a hadith I'm telling you, that in another way he addressed Hazrat Aisha. And this is the husband and the wife speaking to each other. And on that level we are looking, because everything that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, we take a lesson from that. Remember, every action of his was deen. So listen to this hadith carefully, what I'm sharing with you. So at that time he spoke to his wife as Aisha. He didn't say her name, he didn't say anything, and he didn't say anything. He said, daughter of Abu Bakr, he said. Now this way to address his wife, this tells us definitely the Prophet wanted something that he spoke with her lovingly. You listening to what I'm saying? Yeah, because the husband and the wife are speaking to each other. So because the Prophet ﷺ said the name of her father, and her father was very beloved to the Prophet, a beloved friend and companion. So this is a common thing that both used to love each other, on this, Abu Bakr Sadiq, because he was the father and also the friend. So here it seemed that Rasulullah ﷺ wanted to say such a thing, that he wanted to get his wife on his side with life. So here's a point that we learn from here. is that, look here, with the wife we should have good treatment. We should treat our wives nicely. If we want to have a nice life, a comfortable life, enjoyable life, then there's a way, a style of doing things. And a woman is different naturally, a man is different naturally. You are young men here, you will have got married, some will get married. I would like to give you nasiha advice, and this hadith I'm sharing with you as well. The men folk, that we should take some lessons from the physical examples. So this hadith came, but this point's come in between. So, when you are, you want to get your wife on your side, you want to make her happy, or you want to get something from your wife, either you can force her, if you want, do this, do that, why you don't listen to me, where's this, I want you to do this, A, B, C, D. Yeah, but she may do it, but maybe not happily. But with the heart, if you win over the heart, with the love, with a good approach, and if you force her to do it, the love will increase. And this goes very far indeed. This will take until your old age, and then dislike and hatred will arise. Rather, mostly divorces that take place, the fighting, quarreling at home is that our attitude, we don't keep it right in the home. Our akhlaq is not good. Our conduct is not good. And especially the women folk, our sisters, in this environment, we bring the children up, then that affects the children massively. The mother and father fighting, quarreling, especially in this society, our generation, it's spoiled mostly, is on this point that the husband and the wife, they are not on the same page. And I've got many cases like this, morning and evening I hear this. And these aren't just minor points. Minor points, a man, if he just submits a little bit, he lowers himself, just like Rasulullah. How could Hazrat Aisha dare to oppose him if the Prophet said something? Could she dare to reject or deny? But because the Prophet wanted to win her over, so he approached her lovingly so that she's happy if I say something, and she said, yes, very happily, yes, you do that, please. So here, another point I'd like to share with you. What was the point here? Is that it wasn't a personal thing that Rasulullah wanted to request her. He could request something personal as well. He just said, oh Aisha, my heart feels like that you give me permission. Now, he did not need permission from his wife. I feel like you give me permission that I can I remember Allah for a short while? Subhanallah, mashallah, this is a great request. So he thought, she could have said that I don't want to leave you. So this is a wife. She said, my heart doesn't feel like leaving you, my dear husband, but you requested me in such a way so Aisha cannot reject you. So here the learning that she cannot reject, and look at due to love, that how much this whole event is unique. So if we in our lives with our wife have this approach, and in this style we follow, then our environment at home, will the society not improve? Will our houses not be full of love and positivity? No, everything we force and we push. So that's one masala. And another masala, thousands of learnings come from this hadith. That mashallah, you are muballagh, you are learned, you are da'i, you are pious, righteous Muslims, you pray tahajjud, and you do lots of worship. And this is also a role of in our life, the husband and the wife. And I say with forgiveness, now we force our wife, no, again I'm for tahajjud, no, I want to do this now. And you're going to the league, no, I'm going out to do da'wah. And I think I'm a big shot, and I'm going for the sake of Allah, I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing the deen. Just like you've come here, many of you, and ask you a question. That did you ask your wife? No, Hazrat Sahib, Sheikh Sahib is called, we're going. How can it be I'm not going? No, we shouldn't be like this. Little bit you should have asked your wife out of good akhlaq, that do you give me permission that I can travel to this gathering? Do you understand what I'm saying? No. So what do we learn here is that we think we are great, pious walis of Allah. That are we greater than the Imam al-Anbiya, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in our approach? So the point here is that whenever you go on tabligh, da'wah, work of deen, good gathering, which is included as ibadah, which you have a personal attachment to, then the biggest haqooq right is for the wife. We should consider and do mashwara, consult, that do you need me at home? Is there a need? Will you have any pain, or is any issue or problem from away? Is there any hurdle? And with happiness, if she gives permission that you go, just like Hazrat Aisha said, then this is a great, amazing achievement of those wives. They understand as well that it's better for my husband to go. They're not silly. They understand that as well. So for the wife, it's a great point that she's enabling a permission that she will then imitate Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa. They should also go. It's difficult. Is it for the woman? The husband's leaving the house, maybe traveling, will he come back quickly? There's a fast tomorrow, children are here. Thousands of excuses could come to the wife, and you've just left the house, and we had these things to do at home, the children have to go to school tomorrow, we've got work, and you've left the shop, there's no earnings, and the turnover's going to go down. You could do this at home, dhikr, you could have joined online, dhikr. The women folk could say this, you understand? But this good sister would say, no problem, my husband, I'll do the work at home, my husband, let me him go. If with happiness she gives ijazah for mission, then she also succeeds and you also succeed, subhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying up to now? So this is a very nice hadith that mashallah came in front of me. So now I come back to my point, the topic. So in this way, this another hadith has Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when she didn't find him on the bed, and here also this gives us a glimpse and a learning about social life. So she was a bit surprised. What's happened here? My husband, where's he gone? She got up, and now here, this is a sort of a domestic, you could say, example could happen with us, could happen anywhere. And this is that family that every action of theirs was Islamic, because we want to learn the deen from the examples. So as Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, she left her bed, she just jumped out of bed. And I'm telling you the meaning of the hadith. She suddenly got up, she went out. My husband, where's he gone? He's left the bed. And she was a little bit distressed. Of course she was. She was a bit upset. She's looking desperately. She's finding here, there. And where she cannot imagine the hadith. Remember this hadith? That on which point are we sharing this hadith? Remember the objective? What's the topic of this hadith? That this night, the virtues of this night, the purpose of this night, what's the objective of this night? That's what we're learning from this hadith. You remember what I said in the beginning? That we need to determine from this hadith that what's the objective of this night. So I'll explain this hadith in a bit of detail, and we'd take some other learnings as well on top of that. So Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa, she started looking, finding, seeking, that where's my beloved husband? Finding, looking, she could not imagine that he could also be here, my dear husband. And pay attention to what we learn in this hadith. So when she saw that Rasulullah was in Jannatul Baqi, in the graveyard, he was stood there. And she was surprised, that graveyard in the halfway through the night, and here the Holy Prophet said, why is he coming? This was unusual for him to do this. This was not his routine. They would leave house halfway through the night, go to the graveyard and stand there. Yeah, so pay attention to this. So she arrived there, and he was her husband, and he understood as well. He said, Aisha, you've come after me. And no second thing did he say. He said, you think that Allah and His Rasul, that they will break your rights? SubhanAllah, do you understand what this means? SubhanAllah. What does this mean? Is that, do you think that I have gone to maybe another wife during the night, or I've gone to another one, otherwise that I will break your rights? So at that time, straightforward answer she gave. She didn't hide it. She said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm totally, my heart came this point that you are saying. This was in my heart. That maybe you have left me and gone somewhere else. So here, another point we learn here. I'd like to share that with you. And this is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has Aisha Siddiqa. But this is a common social life point that we see in our lives as well. That if you are late a little bit, and your wife will get a bit upset. You haven't come yet, where are you? You haven't come yet. She'll get upset a bit, anxious. Where did you go? Phoning here, phoning there, phoning other people here, here to come. Why isn't he come here? Why is he so late? And this is a natural thing that the wife is upset or distressed. And because we are living in this society, so I'll say, please forgive me, that in her heart she may have this thought, that has he gone here left and right, gone somewhere else? Is he running after somebody else, attracted by somebody else? Has he gone to some other company, wasting his time? So here is even more dangerous, isn't it, in this society we're living in. So the woman, the sister, to be upset, totally is jais and permissible, and it's correct as well. She's 100% right to be anxious. I'm frustrated. But when the woman is like this, and when she doubts, and when the husband sees that, then he gets angry on his wife. Though you are doubting me, that I'm a man like this, even though he may have done all that nonsense when he came home. He might have done those wasteful actions. He said, you doubt me, and you think I'm doing wrong, and I go against you. And the person who's right, he will have not done this. So the lesson for him is this, that follow Rasulullah, he realized that, let me tell my wife, don't worry my wife. So the man today should also think that my wife is anxious, she's worried, and she's naturally asking me, I shouldn't be angry, rather I should explain that where I was, and that's why I came late, my dear wife, don't worry. And this may seem small, but this is the life and the family of the Prophet ﷺ, and this will make big families today in this society successful. So we should mend our habits. Very important for us to learn from this. So on this, never should you be upset with your wife. She doubts me, she's asking me, she's questioning me. I've seen many husbands do this. The wife, mashallah, of course she will have doubt. Of course she'll have worries. She'll have hesitancy. Remember this. But the husband very quickly gets upset by this. Why are you questioning me, challenging me, asking me, doubt me, when I come late? You ask me where I've been, where have I gone? That's a habit. And your job is to follow the Prophet ﷺ to satisfy her, make her calm. I'm not like this, and this is the sunnah of the Prophet. Do you understand this point as well? Okay, let's carry on towards this hadith. So two learnings we got extra with the barakah blessings of the Yazid. They came on my mind. I thought I'd share them with you. So this hadith now continues. We want to see what's the objective, the virtues of this night. So what's the fazilat, the virtues, and what's the amal action we need to do? We should do those actions that the Holy Prophet ﷺ did implement in this night. And there's nothing else we need to do more than that. If we do more, then we'll go down. We will be totally doing wrong if we do of our own accord. There's no thawab, no rule, doesn't matter what you do. Totally wrong. So in this hadith, we see the Holy Prophet says, what was his amal, actions, and that will be the objective. First and foremost, in this night, if we attain and solve that question, that what's the purpose of this night, then we have attained this night. We get the blessings of this night, we get the rules of this night, Allah will be happy with us. Rather, I'll say further, what more we will get in this night. But if we don't attain the objective and understand and learn that Rasulullah educated us, that this is the purpose of this night, and we don't learn that, then we waste this opportunity. So now the objective of this night we can realize. So, yes, the wife asked and the Prophet ﷺ replied and both were happy, and we could say that's the end. But we continued then. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh Aisha, do you know what is this night?" And now comes the Ummah, his nation. "Do you know what this night is for? Do you know the virtues of this night?" The Prophet ﷺ is asking Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa. And that answer the Sahaba gave, "O Prophet of Allah, you, Allah and His Rasul know best. We don't know what is the greatness of this night, what are the virtues. All the nights are equivalent to us." They didn't know. They couldn't see anything physical changing in the night. Yes, but it's a great change right now, physically, spiritually. There's a beautiful environment around us. So, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "Oh Aisha, you know this night, this is nisf. Halfway through Shaban, this night is great and virtuous in the eyes of Allah. So, mashallah, this night is recommended for us. Very virtuous night. Why? Because Allah's special mercy is in this night. Special mercy." And then the Prophet said another statement. And then Aisha Sadiqa said that when I went and I saw the state of my beloved husband, the Prophet ﷺ, his blessed head was up and he had raised his hands. He wasn't paying attention to any grave specifically. He didn't see it any concern with any specific grave. Listen to what I'm saying. Nothing to do, any specific thing to do, anything to do with the graveyard at all in that position. Physically he was there. So if you think, it could be that he was present at that place, but it's nothing to do with any specific grave after that. She described as Aisha that he stood there, his hands were up, and he was at the graveyard, but totally he was detached from the graveyard, and his attention was to the heavens and his hands were raised up. Why? He said, "Aisha, tonight is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very close to the people in the dunya on this night. Very close." So the sight of the Prophet was immersed in enjoying that magnificence of Allah during that night. That was his emotion. You understand what I'm saying? He was close to Allah. So we need to understand that. And his hands were raised up. Wallah billah, he was doing dua. He was praying to Allah, connected to Allah. And that time his eyes were raised. He was looking to the sky. He was in the graveyard alone in the time, lonely in the night. Total silence. And the Prophet ﷺ was stood in that position. Then he said, "Oh Aisha, this night is that night in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world, in the lowest of the heavens, Allah ta'ala comes close." So first thing we understand is that is blessed this night, and the blessings that we have attained and received, we have to look towards that. There will be many other things, but in this night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala special tawajjuh, attention He gives to the makhluk, creation. That's one learning we get from this hadith. Special attention of Allah to His creation. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then pays attention with His mercy to the believers, and that Allah addresses all the humanity in the dunya. People in dunya. And Allah says, "Is there anyone out there from my servants who wants to do tawbah, repent to me, wants forgiveness? I will forgive that person." Subhanallah. Allah's addressing us. This is that night. So that's the second statement. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, for maghfirah, forgiveness, there's no limit to forgiveness. So many people can ask Allah for forgiveness, ask Allah for forgiveness. The amount of hairs on the sheep, on the goat of the tribe of Bani Qalb. This is an Arabic example. There was a Bani Qalb was the tribe. They had many goats, many sheep, so many thousands and thousands. And the Prophet ﷺ gave the example. There's no limit that can you count the number of hairs on a goat? On a sheep, and he said that all the goats and sheep on the tribe of Bani Qalb, equivalent to that, if you have that many sins, you bring them to Allah. Allah says, I'll forgive the sins of the ummah today, tonight. That's the main purpose. Two things. After that, yes, in the hadith, we don't get any other thing that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said. Apart from that, he told us extra action, or he did any things. Yes, there's ibadah. You can worship, you can pray nawafil. Yes, that's fine. And the Prophet ﷺ did that. But particularly, specifically concerned to this now is only one thing. What is that? Come and ask Allah for repentance. For forgiveness. The objective of this night, we have learned, the objective of this night is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we beg Allah for forgiveness. Every moment you can ask Allah for forgiveness, all year long, no problem. Of course we can. We can ask Allah for forgiveness. But tonight, this night, the style to request and Allah forgive is different, unique. And the whole night Allah has given to us for this purpose, that any man, woman, child, doesn't matter how many sins we have done. Allah says, don't ask me for anything else today, just ask me for forgiveness. And maghfirah, forgiveness. Now we come to the other side, the graveyard. What did we do? Shaitan, when he sees in the ummah that there's an action, that this man, believer, is succeeding in the hereafter, he's getting Jannah, paradise from this action, then always shaitan will attack and break that action, and somehow or other he contaminates and mixes his polluted mindset into you'll make something bidah, innovation, or too much ibadah, go away from the purpose. Because shaitan wants to cancel our ibadah. This is such a great act of worship for the Muslims in this night that we cannot imagine the worship of asking Allah for forgiveness. The benefits of this we can imagine. Today, in this night, 15th of Shaban, if we get forgiveness from Allah, accepted, alhamdulillah. Allah is the one who gives. As I said, we have to understand the point. If we attain forgiveness, not that Allah, if we beg to Allah and ask Allah, that's what we need to do. Why? Because shaitan takes us to the other. Pray salah, tasbih, saqad, sadaqah, charity. He doesn't bring us to the prime objective of the night to ask Allah for forgiveness. I don't think he allows us or enables us to think like this. Very few people are there that all night, just one action you have to do. It's just at least for a second. Ask Allah with the true depth of your heart for forgiveness. He isn't just attained this night. He's attained the whole of Ramadan, I will say. Guaranteed. He will get Ramadan. Guaranteed. Because he will get the akhirah, the reward for this. You understand what I'm saying? So the real objective of this night is this. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before Ramadan, 2 weeks in advance, because from Rajab we started, the Holy Prophet says in Blessed Dua, but we are now very close to Ramadan, we are in the final 2 weeks before Ramadan, Allah has given us mercy, that with the sins they will enter into Ramadan, this should not be, they should not enter into Ramadan with their sins, because their sins will waste their Ramadan, destroy. So why don't give them a night in the halfway of Shaban, that if in this night they come to me and ask for forgiveness, I won't just give them tawbah, tawbah nasuha, Allah says I'll give them. Tawbah nasuha. Sincere repentance. Who is saying this? Who said pray salah, tasbih, stay awake all night? Do that, but first do tawbah. 99.9% of our qawm, the Muslimin today, tonight, will be doing this. They'll do all the actions under the sun that are disobedience, all the music, dancing, no hijab, no parda, shaving, trimming the beds. But tonight, if you come to the masjid, you'll pray salah, you'll do worship, you'll do that half an hour, you say, Allah forgive me, that's it. No, we've wasted that time. Do you understand the point I'm saying? You follow what I'm saying? Do we not waste this opportunity? Are we not wasting the ummah, wasting this night? Who says don't do ibadah? Pray salah. Everyone says, recite Quran. O servants of Allah, this is not the purpose of this night. As Aisha Sadiqa said, that his blessed head was raised up, his hands were raised up, and Allah had descended to the lowest of the heavens. And Allah is asking, is there anyone who can ask me, who asks me for forgiveness, I'll forgive that person. That's the objective. But we don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that. Yes, someone's decorating the masjid, the gathering, noise. Ajeeb, the graveyards are decorated by this qawm. Shaitan's made us do that. I don't know about here, but in our home countries, Pakistan, India, other nations, Middle East, they don't do this, they don't about it. But in our culture, graveyards, they'll be rejoicing. There'll be lights and celebration, things sold, food. Just like this night, for making those who have died get forgiven, we look at this hadith. Look at the meaning of this, I'll tell you the hikmah of this hadith. That you probably know at this point, and this is what you learn when you sit in the footsteps of the wali Allah, the faqirs. That's what I heard and learnt. So where shaitan taken us as an ummah? Most definitely you will have gone to, the Prophet ﷺ did go to the graveyard, but is this Bukhma Sunnah? Never in their life did he go to the graveyard. During a special time he went in this night for this reason, that he stood there at the graveyard and he gave this message, he spread this message. And it could be, it's possible that that place was the right place to devote this time and to spread this message to the ummah. That's why he went to the graveyard. That was the right place for this message to be delivered. Do you understand the point I'm giving you? That there was no masjid for this purpose, no other place. Couldn't be the Kaaba, it could be nothing else. Rasulullah ﷺ went to the right place, he selected, he stood there, and he spread this message for this night. And it was pre-arranged, and Rasulullah ﷺ knew that Aisha would come here. He knew that Aisha would come here. And this hadith will spread, and the Bolton Muslim will listen to this hadith, mashallah. But unknowingly, there'll be so many people, and this man will be sitting there, that you will get the graveyard, and you will do tawbah in this night. And people still go to the graveyard. And they go there to get forgiveness from Allah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, listen to this hadith. According to this hadith, I'll share with you the point. That how shaitan is treated us today. That today in the graveyards there's noise. Oh, this forgiveness, come here. Rasulullah said, go to the graveyard for this reason. That there you should remember your death when you go there. That's the link. Is this not a sahih hadith? The proper hadith. Now, Rasulullah ﷺ went to the graveyard Baqi. He gave the message that you very soon, O Muslim, are going to come to this place where I'm stood. Very soon you're going to die and go to the graveyard. And to get to the graveyard, the best way to prepare, I stand and tell you that what is Allah saying? Do tawbah, ask Allah for forgiveness. The best way to prepare for your grave is to do this, what I'm doing tonight. Otherwise you will come to the grave and you will get the punishment. So that's the purpose of why he stood there and gave us his message. Is this the case or not? Do you understand? Is your heart affect? Does this point affect your heart? Because this is what I learned from the company of the walis of Allah. And mashallah, definitely your heart will feel that this is correct. How sahih is this? The Prophet of Allah, he selected the graveyard that you, O Muslims, are going to die soon. You're going to get buried. Look before me. These people are buried here. So I'm giving you the message that you will succeed in the grave at which time? When you connect to Allah, ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah forgives you. You get repentance. Then this grave will become paradise for you. Subhanallah. But we started doing other actions from learning this hadith. We said, let's go to the graveyard. Rasulullah went to the graveyard. Rasulullah didn't do dua for any specific person in the graveyard. He didn't go to the graveyard and do dua for those in the grave. His objective of going there was different. His style was different. He educated. Why? Because shaitan, what he does, he makes us go off the track. And he makes us do any other actions which are away from the deen. And he's made us mad today. Where's halwa come from? Mithai, sweets in this night? Tell me. Where's that? Where's that? Why do we eat halwa on this night? Tell me. Where's that land from? Does it make sense in doing these actions? Distributing sweets? Does it make sense? Why? Because shaitan has diverted away from the purpose. I say to you that not even a 0% does this have connection today, even if by chance you ask Allah for forgiveness. But understand the purpose of this night is to ask Allah for forgiveness. And shaitan makes us run towards ibadah, worship, and think that we're forgiven. Listen clearly, that if all night long we worship, all night long we pray nafil, salatul tasbih, and we read Quran all night long, but if we don't ask Allah sincerely for forgiveness, then all of this will be thrown back in our face. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. What will we take? Allah says, what have you brought to me? Nothing. Now, come to the point, the importance of this night, let's understand. Allah Kareem is so merciful, He's given us His blessings, that in Ramadan, we are about to arrive to Ramadan, very close. 2 weeks away is Ramadan. And beforehand, who will receive us? Rahmah, the Ashraf Rahmah will receive us. the mercy. And the first 10 days of Rahmah, we enter with this dirt that's attached to our lives right now. Beards are trimmed, shaven. We are doing haram actions in our homes. There's music and screens, no parda. We lie. Interest in our lives, riba. Backbiting, we don't pray. All the defects and sins in our lives. And I want to enter into Ramadan like this. And I think I'm pious and so great. And there's no reward we'll get from this month if we enter like that. Will we be able? Capable. So coming to this masjid, we can't enter this mosque with our own whim and desire. We can if you want to, but before entering the masjid, you have to do wudu. Is that correct? Why? Because it's a pure place, the house of Allah. And you come to the masjid, the house of Allah, you come to a unique environment, the doors of Allah's mercy, the doors of fadl. Allahumma afta li abwaba rahmatik. You recite this, wasn't it, when you go into the masjid? So you put your foot in. Allah, I'm going into a itikaf. Because you don't want to waste any second. It's a sacred place. And Allah's special mercy, Allah selected His home for connecting to Him. So for coming to the masjid, simple example, Allah Ta'ala has arranged already outside that clean, do wudu at home or in the wuduri according to the sharia, then enter into the masjid, into the mosque. That's the condition, isn't it? Allah says, I want you to do pure. So how can it be such a pure, sacred, great, fantastic month that's coming? So many virtues of Ramadan that we cannot imagine. Millions and billions. And the normal nafl we pray away from Ramadan, you get reward of fard in Ramadan. And fard is the importance. If you put one fard, one place, all lifelong pray nafl, you cannot be equivalent to that fard. It cannot be. So imagine what we're going to get in Ramadan. Nafl will become fard. And I enter into Ramadan with dirt, with the sins. I can't enter the masjid with dirt, with sins, impurity. And I'm going into Ramadan dirty. How will I then attain the purpose of Ramadan? So not only is this night giving us a message, 15th night of Shaban, that today you can succeed. Rather on top of that, you will prepare for the month of Ramadan that's coming. Understand the point? Understand the point? So if today, this night, if we attain the objective of this night, my friends, remember this, then the whole of Ramadan you will have attained in advance. If tonight, this night, what does that mean? That if anyone today sitting here listening does tawbah, Allah, I've got this defect, I've got this sin, this problem, I'm not a good person, Allah, oh Kareem, Allah, I ask you for forgiveness, Allah, please wipe my sins away. Allah, please clean me, Allah, so merciful, Allah is saying today, Allah is saying just today, have I called you for this purpose today? The objective of this night I gave to you is this, Allah says. That I have not told you to come into pray salah, tasbih, salatu tasbih, nothing. Allah says, my meaning was this, that just do one action tonight. What is the action? That enter into this night properly, so you can enter into Ramadan beautifully. The whole year you wasted, and your death is very close. Your death is, maybe it's possible that after Ramadan you will not stay alive, and you will not see the next Ramadan. It's possible. So I'm giving you a chance. How many people have died before this Ramadan? Ask yourself that question. How many people you know have died before this Ramadan? So, are we prepared to do this action? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are we prepared to do tawbah? We're not prepared to do tawbah, to repent. And if we want Allah, our Rabb, Lord says, take benefit from this night. Not just this night, but rather the whole Ramadan you will attain. If you are purified tonight, before this month of Ramadan comes, then you'll enter into Ramadan, the first night, the 10 days of Ramadan, then the mercy of Allah will receive you. Where will you get the opportunity? You'll be pure, clean. And you'll enter into Ramadan, the first ashar of mercy. We are sinful, and we go, and if we lose out from the first 10 days of mercy, and if we, then we lose out. But if we go pure, clean tonight, and we arrive to Ramadan, the first ashra, then the second ashra is what? Forgiveness. Allah will announce that go. You came into Ramadan with mercy. Allah says, in the second 10 days of Ramadan, I forgive you. Allah announces. Sequence. And then the last ashra comes, that you have the forgiveness. You have the mercy. Forgiveness, Allah says, in advance, that you are free from the fire of hell. That's the last third of Ramadan. So it's a sequence. If we go into Ramadan dirty, Allah says, how can I give you mercy? First I will purify you the whole 10 days. First 10 days you have to purify, you'll have to wash away your sins. In advance you weren't prepared. And you don't know this, that you enter into Ramadan, you pray Taraweeh, Sajda. You'll waste those amal of Ramadan because you didn't prepare in advance. Allahu Akbar, we're wasting our time. Do you understand now my message of tonight? Preparation for Ramadan starts today, tonight. That's the message. So there are two things to prepare for Ramadan. One is stomach and one is ruh. Definitely prepare your stomach. Make samosas, freeze them in the fridge, rotis, food, pizzas, buy them, put them in the freezer, prepare for iftar. No problem. Do that. But this is the message. Are you spiritually preparing for Ramadan? Yes or no? Spiritual preparation is this, that purify and clean yourself now. And the best way, look at the message we're getting tonight, that very soon you will arrive to your grave where you're going to die and go to the grave. And the success you will get is when you do tawbah, repent before death. And tawbah, what is repentance? Let's look at the surah Mumtana. What is tawbah? Allah says in the Quran about repentance, Allah says, oh, you believe, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. Allah says, tawbah, tawbatan nasuh. Tawbah is not a small thing, repentance. Asking Allah for forgiveness. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi wa tawbatan nasuha. Allah says, oh, you believe? You have iman? Do tawbah. Tubu ila Allah. Oh, you believe? Allah is addressing the believers here, not the kuffar, not disbelievers. Allah is not addressing those who have no iman. Allah is saying, the ummah of the Prophet, you are immersed and wrapped up in sins despite you've got iman. That your sins will devour your iman. And then you'll be destroyed. You will eventually go to Jannah with iman. But all your sins, if you don't wash yourself now, if today your sins are washed tonight, just by asking Allah for forgiveness. If you leave here before Fajr, you will be successful. But if you leave here with sins tonight, then your sins will be washed in Jahannam. Allah says, first you go to hell, because you've got iman, you will go to hell, first your sins will be washed there, then you'll go eventually to Jannah. So Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi. One is tawbah, and one is tawbah an-nasu. Difference. That I explained to you, tawbah. Does everyone want to do tawbah today? Put your hands up if you want to do tawbah today. Repent. Okay, fine. So listen to another point then about tawbah, repentance. I said, why should I do tawbah today? Allah, I'm fine. I've got salah, I've got iman, I do dhikr, I recite Quran, I've got knowledge, I've got a beard, I've got imamata, but I don't need to do tawbah. I'm already fine. I'm a scholar, I'm an alim, I'm a hafid, I've memorized Quran. Shaitan, remember, always he'll be with you saying to you that you are fine. This is the waswasa. Where Shaitan whispers into your ears and heart. Already the believers who are practicing, especially in this gathering, I'm addressing the brothers, you've got good clothes, good appearance, you do dhikr already, you're Naqshbandi, you are bayah in the Naqshbandi order already. I'm not telling about me, you are bayah with Hazar Sahib, great sheikh of his time was my sheikh. Hazar Sahib, mashallah, you have connection with my teacher. In this regard, I say you are great Jamaat. But I warn you, if with this waswa, negative thought, you think you don't need to do tawbah all life long, you will never be forgiven after today. Every moment, every situation, every second, a believer should consider, I am desperately in need of tawbah. Allah, please forgive me. Each and every one of us. This is a great dars Allah has given. You're praying salah. You're praying namaz. You're not listening to music. You're not backbiting. You're not doing any dirty action. You're praying salah. You've recited Quran, the postures, the positions of salah. Doesn't matter how broken down and bad is our salah. Pray salah. But straight away after praying salah, recite istighfar, ask Allah for forgiveness. This is the line. Maybe still after today you'll do sins. Ask Allah for forgiveness. So ibadah, you're doing sin. And with your parents, Islamic libas, attire, ilm, knowledge, a person, can he not sin afterwards? When such a gathering you get where a person is giving you dawah and telling you about death and hereafter, whoever's proud and thinks he doesn't need to do tawbah, he is the most wretched individual in that gathering. Why? Every person has a chance there. Everyone has an opportunity. Take my statement, what I'm about to say. That individual, such a sinful person, who after sinning, he does wrong, he has regret and remorse. He says, I am sinful, Allah, trim my beard. Allah, the sister says, I don't observe hijab. Allah, I go out without hijab. Oh Allah, I'm so bad, I take sood, riba. Allah, I smoke cannabis. Allah, I smoke drugs. I try Allah, but I can't keep the beard the full length. These sins are different from that sinful person. Where is it written, ya? Why is it, it's a minor. I don't need to practice. Show me in the verse of the Quran where it says beard. Show me where it says riba. In this country, I have to take interest. There are two types of people. One is a sinful person who accepts, and the second person will never get a chance to do tawbah. He will burn in Jahannam because he's opposing everything that Allah Ta'ala is ordering us to do. He will never be to do tawbah. Tawbah, that person receives always who's sincere, who's tender, gentle, who says, Allah, even though I worship Allah, but still forgive me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Tonight, all of us are desperate. After every salah, every 5 minutes of our day, we are dependent on Allah. Rasulullah in abundance did tawbah. The sahaba were amazed. In one gathering, 100 times, he did astaghfirullah. Did the Prophet need to do astaghfirullah? He was a prophet, but he educated the ummah. That don't be in that false pretense. Don't be in that false pretense that I don't need to do tawbah. No, every believer is desperately in need of tawbah. Repentance. Remember this. Many sins we commit that are recorded, we don't even know about them. We ask Allah in dua. We say, Allah, those sins, please forgive the sins we know. And Allah, please forgive the sins that we don't know. That's a famous dua. Famous dua. Those sins, Allah, please forgive us. Those sins, whether I know about them, I did them, or I don't know whether I did them or not. Well, Allah, because you know best, they are written in your books. I want Allah, everything in my record book is wiped away, Allah. So first and foremost, when you pray salah, you do dua. Any amal action you do, first and foremost, dua. What should you do? Dua in the beginning. First and foremost, you praise Allah. Then you recite Durood Sharif, and after that, Astaghfar, Allah, forgive me, Allah, forgive me, Allah, forgive me. Then go towards what you need from Allah. Sincerity is a great thing. Allah, I'm severely sinful. I've prayed Salah. Allah, I've prayed Salah. I've done dars. I've given a speech. I've shared hadith. I've just given a speech, a lecture. I was the imam. I led the prayer. But Allah, please Allah, I'm not deceived. I'm very sinful. First and foremost, praise Allah, recite Durood, I do dua to Allah. Please forgive my sins. Always remember this. Do Sayyidud Astaghfar, the dua. Sayyidud Astaghfar. Am I right, am I wrong? Keep on learning these things as I tell you. So, who is today that is not in need of tawbah tonight? Who? So, learn the method of tawbah. What does the Quran say? Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, tubu ila Allahi wa tawbatan nasuha. Don't just Allah for repentance, but tawbatan nasuha. If you want forgiveness tonight. If you want forgiveness. So tawbatan nasuha. So there are three conditions of tawbatan nasuha. Three conditions. That today with my heart I will do tawbah Allah honestly. Not from the tip of my tongue. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Not tasbih. No repetition. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. No. This night will be the drama around the world. That I'm doing tawbah Allah. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. How many times? Oh, I did 1,000 times. How many did you do? I did 100. How many times did you read Quran? How many do this? This is all drama. It's fake tawbah. Fake. It's not practical in the deen. Today with the depth of heart, once if you just do istighfar, say once, they should go from top to toe, your istighfar. Just once. But there are conditions for that. Number one is regret. You should have sincere regret and remorse. Remorse and regret. Allah, in my life I've committed sins. Allah, accept I'm a criminal. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah, I've oppressed myself. I've committed injustice on myself. Allah, I did this sin. Allah, I did this wrong. Allah, I oppressed this person. It's hidden in my heart. I don't accept it. Allah, I did this wrong. First and foremost, you should have regret. Well, if we don't regret, you say, why should I have regret? So number one, regret you should have. And so Allah, I leave this sin immediately right here and now. Not this, oh, I'll start from tomorrow. Allah, inshallah, I'll try. Allah, do dua for me. Oh, my friend, do dua for me. No words like this in tawbah. You should not say this. Allah, I immediately, suddenly leave this sin. Why? Because Allah, I have trust and I rely on you. I hope and I have full confidence, Allah, you will save me. If you can save me today, you'll save me tomorrow. Allah, I'm not capable. I'm not capable. But you bring Allah into the contract. Allah, and you say, Allah, I promise I will not do this sin again. With your permission, I have full regret, number one. And I have confidence, Allah, you will take me away from this sin. Allah, I will leave this sin. That's number two. You'll say this. Just say with a true heart. True heart. That's it. Number two. And then the third point. Allah, eventually in the future, I won't do this again ultimately. That's number three. So who are you saying this to? To Allah you are speaking. Say openly. Communicate with Allah. Allah, I regret my previous life. Allah, I leave these sins. And in the future, I won't go back to them. I drink alcohol, Allah. I will leave the alcohol, I won't. Allah, I smoke cannabis. I won't smoke cannabis in the future. Weep. I see dirty pictures, women. I won't look at them in the future, Allah. I won't look at them. I do these bad actions. I'm evil, Allah. I'll try to leave this today. I shave my beard. I trim my beard. I accept this as a bad sin. I shouldn't do it. Allah, I won't do it in the future. What does this mean? Immediately, you have honest, totally, you'll be changed at that time. This is called tawbatan nasuha. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi wa tawbatan nasuha. Asa rabbukum, Allah says. Asa rabbukum. Now here we talk about hope. Now Allah is talking about promise. Allah is saying, don't hope. I'll promise to you, Allah says. Allah promises to His believers. Allah says, I promise to you, O person, between me and you, when you regret like this, I say, Asa rabbukum. I'm your creator. I promise to you. That your sins, I will wipe all of your sins away. I will wipe them from the face of the earth. In the hadith, they state when a person does tawbah and repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those sins, Allah calls the angels. Allah tells me, where on planet earth did he sin? Allah, he was in a plane and he did wrong. Allah, in the plane, he did zina. He looked at the air hostess, started looking at the air hostess, and he was sitting in the plane and listening to songs, and he was looking on his phone. Dirty pictures in the sky. We are doing sins where the previous nations didn't have aeroplanes. So we are flying in this. So our sins, the witness will be the breeze and the winds and the clouds. Today we go on journey, we enjoy in the plane. We think nobody can see. What do people do in planes today? Tell me. So today we are so low and dirty and impure, we are stuck in the sins. Then our eyes, forget about Jannah. To get to Jannah is very hard. The only way that can make it easy for us is Tawbah, repentance. Otherwise we are very dirty. Jahaz, plane, we do sins in the plane. 50,000 feet in the air, in space, we're flying and I'm sinning. We're sinning. How much we've traveled. Hajis in the plane I've seen doing sin. Astaghfirullah. There's no, we don't have to hide it. We make the environment in the plane relaxed. And we're sinning in the plane, in the breeze, in the ears. The atmosphere will bear witness. No other previous nation of any prophet. This ummah will be testified against. Am I right? What answer will we give? But one action Allah has given to us. That forget your sins. And ask me for forgiveness from your Rabb. And that sins you did in the plane, I will forget them. And my power, I am a Rabb. And I will order the angels to wipe away the sins, dust away this earth, so that no one can testify and be witness against you on the day of judgment. Allah said, I don't just forgive you, I will eliminate the sins from the root. Asa Rabbukum. Subhanallah, this is the verse of the Quran. Allah says, this is the night of Barat. Shab, the night of Barat, the night of release, the night of freedom, the night of getting release from the sins. Do we want to do this? Allah says, come and I'll explain to you the method of how to utilize this night properly. If we are true human beings, then everyone should leave here by doing tawbah. Me, whatever I'm now, I should change my condition. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. There's no knowledge about death. Paradise will be waiting for you. I'm not saying this. The Quran is telling us this. The Quran is telling us this. The Quran says, do tawbah, repent, I will wipe away your sins. Allah says, I will wipe them from the face of the earth and the skies. After that, don't worry at all. Be free. Allah says, I won't just wipe away the sins, that they will come out of your control, your hands. Then Allah says, I call all the sins. Allah says to the angels, bring these sins. Space them out. Millions of sins are in front of us. Allah says, that did you do tawbah? Allah says, I said, my mercy, go these sins and change them all into good deeds. Allah says, وَيُكَفِرُمْ سَيَّاتِكُمْ. That's the masala of this night. Allah won't look at our salah. We're praying. The angels are waiting, waiting. Which human being until Fajr, he will cry out to Allah, Allah, labbaik. Oh Allah, labbaik. I've come, I'm sinful. Allah, I want forgiveness from you. The angels are waiting to record that. Is there any young man here? Is there any brave woman? Is anyone who admits to his or her sins? Is any young boy here? Subhanallah. Muntazir, Allah's mercy is waiting. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, that we go, we start to go into the graveyards and recite the Durood Sharif there and pray for those in the grave. Imagine, and the women today and the men today are worse than the previous. That subhanAllah, when we see these gatherings, you should laugh when you see this. Is this why Rasulullah taught us about this night? No, this was not the learning, this was the education. In the whole life he didn't go. Just for this message he went to the graveyard. Otherwise, does anyone in the middle of the night to give this message? Until today, have you ever heard that in the night, that 2 a.m., 3 a.m., the learning we get, that let's go to the graveyard. Did any sahabi go? Does it do? They do. They go at the right time that you go and recite Surah Fatiha and pray for those who are deceased. So this was unique, and this was a unique message that the Prophet went to Baqi to give this message. You with me what I'm saying? So let's go beyond. Allah Ta'ala, what does he say now? So Allah says, I will wipe away your sins. And such I will wipe your sins that from the root of your sins I'll clean them, then I will change them into good deeds, but I will change them to good deeds. I haven't sent you empty handed. Allah says that you will earn in this night. Then Allah says, Yudkhulun Jannah. Now, you don't just have this, rather on this tawbah Allah promises, Yudkhulul Jannah. Allah says I will enter into paradise, Tahti al-Anhar. This little example I give of Jannah, how that I will enter into gardens of paradise beneath which there are rivers of honey and milk, and you'll have palaces and mansions and your whores and your wives and your guests and your attendants and food. You just did a small action of tawbah. You cannot imagine what Jannah is, paradise is waiting for us. We can't even imagine for a second. And why are we getting this Jannah? That because we are praying salah tonight? No. Or tonight you pray salatul tasbih? No. Or tonight you will do Quran or other adhkar? No. Why will we get, tell me the answer. No, you will get the reward. All night you can pray. If one person is doing all night and the other person with a true heart, just a second as tawbah, he will get the reward. He will get the reward. The action do that Allah Ta'ala is prescribing to us. Such lengthy ibadat and worship, and you don't do tawbah. Why are you giving yourself hardship and burden physically? You don't have to waste time. If all night you want to stay awake, you don't have to stay awake all night. Allah Ta'ala, does He want to pester you, give you hardship? Wake up all night, you're bopping up and down, you're sleepy, and you're not used to praying salah, and all night long you're awake and praying because you think you'll be forgiven. No, forgiveness won't come like this. So how many rewards of tawbah? So the first reward of repenting is your sins are forgiven. Number two, that your sins are changed to good deeds. The third, you will go to paradise. What else do we need? Say subhanallah. Yawmala, Allah says, this is a beautiful point here further. Now the next reward after doing tawbah, the next reward we get, is that there's such a day will come which will make a person wretched and cursed. All of his status, all those kings with protocol, palaces, leaders, no one can go near them in this world. They have status, rich and wealthy. Many people are there in the world here now. And on that day, Allah says, on that day what will happen is that they will be grabbed, the chains over their necks, they'll be naked, and they will be falling on the ground, and their tongues will be hanging down to the ground, and they'll be beaten with the rods. They'll be in such a bad state, so much wretchedness and curse and ruin, that they're never seen in their life, and the whole people of mankind will witness them. That Allah Ta'ala mentions this, that on that day, there will be such people. Might be your... The Mufassirin, the commentators commentate on this verse, that those who have done tawbah, that that day that will be most severe on the day of judgment, that there will be no limit to ruin and disgrace the people who are sinning now. Where is it written, repent? Where is it say that taking interest is haram? It's hard, I can't keep the beard, I live in the UK, how can we do parda, hijab, a tribe, I have to work, how can I pray salah, work, how can I follow deen? All life long keep one purpose of life. Remember that? That purpose of life is whatever Allah Ta'ala gives is an order. Always implement that order. When you seek a job, find a job where you can pray salah. Remember this. Provisions, utilize the resources, go to that country where you can pray salah. Yeah, you're looking at luxuries, comforts and dunya here, and you leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, our life, our first and last, is that in this dunya we are finding and looking for Allah. We are not alive for our stomachs. We are not alive, our stomach is not our life. For us, we are not looking for progression and status and luxuries in this world. The big houses, detached houses, because we're not looking for titles and education and careers. Our life is simplicity, and our purpose of life is one. The purpose of life that Allah has given to us, we attain that, we die and go into the grave. We don't want nothing else from this world. Nothing else. Are we going to take something with you into the grave? Then become like that then, if you can take something to the grave. Take it with you to the grave. In your houses in Pakistan, your houses are made in India, in Bangladesh. Why are you making mansions in the Indian subcontinent? Greed of the world. How long will you live in this world? Do those actions that you will take those things with you in the grave. That's only one action. That say subhanallah and you'll take that with you in the grave. Say subhanallah, it will go with you. Subhanallah, you recite, it will go in the grave with you. You will go into paradise, it will become a tree, and you will sit on that tree, and it will give you mangoes and pomegranates and fruits when you recite that here, and you will leave. But this mansion you make will go inheritance, your enemies, you can't stop them. You'll have to give the inheritance to your enemies and your family as well. And he will grab you, say, my inheritance, I didn't like you in the world. And even though he's your enemy, you didn't like him in your life, but he's your relative, or he's got the haq, you'll have to give to him. You'll leave those things in the world. Is this why we're alive? Is this why we change countries and travel and we're ruined and disgraced? And then we go and beg for here and sign on and claim incorrectly money. That here we want to live a life of luxury and we get that check at home in the post or in the bank. That's why you're living here. Is that your purpose? Think what you're alive for. We are lying. We are deceived. We say we've come for deen and practicing deen. Totally not. Today, if all this stops, claiming money, benefits, we'll all run away from this country because we came here to fill our stomachs. That's our purpose of life. My brothers, my colleagues, definitely do good things and live and eat nicely, but don't waste any salah in your life. Don't miss any salah in your life. Here, if you don't get deen, Islam, if they say here, eventually one day, shave your beard, or don't wear Islamic clothes, or you can't pray salah, or change your deen, we will not allow you to do this in society, then you will have to transfer from that society. You have to leave that society. The Sahaba noble companies, that was Azabu Zarqafari, he left the city. How far from Medina he went. He said, I want to be away from the dunya. And he was a Sufi. From the Sahaba, mashallah, he was a great Sahaba. And the Sahabi used to say he was a Sufi Sahabi. Because he shunned the dunya. He made his lifestyle like that. We're going to die, we're going to go to the hereafter eternal. So we should live a simple life, necessities of life, fulfill them. Live in the dunya as much as you need it. But go with the time that you're going to live here. But your deen should not be disturbed. And your Islam should not be that to show off, my son's Hafiz, my son's a scholar, he's an alim. This is for showing off. No, you should learn knowledge to practice that knowledge. My son prays salah 5 times a day. We should be proud. My daughter implements the Quran. They're Hafiz, they don't eat haram. My wife, my children observe hijab, they never consume haram. Show yourself as a practical Muslim. Not this, I'm this, I'm pious, I've got knowledge, this many Quran, I've done hifz. This deen for showing, and then that would become a big burden on that human being. Am I right or wrong? So what's the purpose of that deen? This is not deen of Islam, showing off to other people, showing them your piety. For deen we need to practice, even if you know only four verses of the Quran and you practice them, you are successful, you are a scholar. You have ilm, even just 4 verses, you have tafsir, you can learn the rest of the Quran, but you practice those 4 verses, you're a scholar. Today, if you make an I want to be Hafiz. You try every day, you learn a verse, and you don't become a Hafiz fully. But I'm hopeful Allah Ta'ala will include your name in the list of the Hufaz. So it's very easy to practice Islam. But we do drama, we are not genuine. In every action of our deen of Islam, we contaminate it with the sin. Can we deceive Allah? Can we deceive Allah? So the fourth reward Allah Ta'ala says is that, subhanAllah, a beautiful point here. That tawbah, those who repent to Allah, who turn to Allah, they will be saved from those places, just like I saved my Prophet and the mu'mineen, they will also be saved while they're living. Allah says, Allah will put them on that status, on that level. That sinful person, and I look at my condition, and tonight if I do tawbah, if I repent to Allah, Allah will take me to the level of the good people. The good people. And Allah says, I'll save him, preserve him in the dunya, and he will be honorable, respectful, and I'll send him into paradise of justice. How will Allah send us with dignity into paradise? SubhanAllah explains further. Allah says that the honor and dignity will be given to a person who repents to Allah. Then in front of him will be nur, on his right will be nur light. In front of him will be light. Great status Allah will give. So this is the practical reward of doing tawbah. This is repentance. That this person was courageous, determined, he sacrificed his life, he took interest tonight, he promised Allah, I'll leave riba tonight, interest, usually. And he used to do this, AEBC, Allah promise, and we have to do this tonight, my friends, promise to Allah, one by one. Nurhum, Allah says, the light will be given to that person. Yaqulu Rabbana atalimnana, Allah says, that person will be given full benefit. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin kadir, Allah says, it's my full power. Then Allah will say that he will have nur in front of him, nur behind him, he'll be walking, traveling in the world. Allah says, on the day of resurrection with his darkness, severity, you can imagine the darkness and heat on the day of judgment. And people will be struggling on the day. But that person who repented in the world, Allah says, my nur will be with that person. Allah says that nur that you will get by repenting here will travel with you to the hereafter. And the shade of that light, eventually you will enter into paradise, Allah says. Eventually. Why? Because inna Allah ala kulli shayin kadir. Allah has full power. He can do what he wills. So, who will get all these rewards, benefits that on this night of Laylatul Barat, he does tawbah. He won't just pray salah. And from salah, I'm not stopping you from praying salah. Tahajjud, I say, do this first action, tawbah, then all your ibadat will have nur ala nur. Yes, Allah Ta'ala is giving you the night, he's asking you to do tawbah, then be grateful after that, but going into prostration. And then pray salah after that, be grateful, then do tasbih and do dhikr of Allah, then remember Allah, which we will do. together. That's my niya today. That Allah, such a great night you've given to us, such a blessed night you've given to us, and mashallah, you're giving me the whole of Ramadan in advance. MashaAllah, all three ashra of Ramadan you give in advance. So why shouldn't I be grateful after doing tawbah and I do your dhikr tonight? That's my dhikr, my niyah of doing dhikr, to be thankful to Allah. So do that all night long, stay awake if you can, and keep a fast tomorrow if you want, that's fine. But first in advance, if you don't take the objective, don't do tawbah and you think you're successful, then that's shaitani dawah that is. Shaitani dawah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Allah says, it will be noor for those people. They will come to the hereafter, their day of judgment, in the darkness and heat they will get noor. Here's a point that's coming in my heart. Can I share that with you? This is not hadith or Quran I'm saying. It's just coming in my heart. I'll share that with you. That what is the noor that Allah is talking about here? That will be in front of you, behind you, to the right. What is this noor? Allah is like, Allah says, noorun wa kitabun mubeen. So Allah is mentioning the Quran. Are these that two noor that Allah is saying? So subhanallah, that Allah is mentioning the Quran. When Allah says, the two noor I gave to you, the two, Allah is saying, what's the two? One is the noor of the kitab and one is the noor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah says, am I speaking about that noor? In reality, this is the two noor, the light that equals iman. Allah is mentioning that you will get tonight. And that is what is iman. If we do tawbah today, we will get those two noor. Understand the point? So with these two forms of light, Allah says, this is the light that equals iman. And these two lights are what you will get as a benefit tonight. One is the light of the Quran and one is the light of the Sunnah. That is what you'll get as a reward. Do you like this point that I said in your heart? Do you like that? So from where Allah Ta'ala gives the point, look at the learnings, the education we get. And who gets this reward, these two noor? These two lights they will attain who truly, honestly do tawbah tonight first. The light of the Quran will come in front of you. And the light of the Sunnah will come from your right side and guide you and assist you. The Quran, the nur of the light will guide you, haram, halal, lawful, unlawful. And the light of the Sunnah will practically demonstrate the light of the Quran to you. Do you understand my point? Do you like this point of this faqir? Yes, look at this, look at the learning of this. So two noor, how did they come? Allah says the noor is there. That's why this whole knowledge that we, iman is formulated with these two noor, the Quran and the Sunnah. So mashallah, many have written this. Yes, there is the iman of the noor. The noor of iman. Where will the noor of iman come from? This light Allah is talking about, from tawbah, from repentance. These are the two lights. Quran and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sunnah. These are the two lights which equal iman. And that today, in the final day, part of the night, and this is the noor that will take us to Jannah in the hereafter. The Quran says, if you just read the Quran, because you considered halal as halal and haram as haram, what have I said to you, the orders of Allah, His injunctions, you accepted. When Allah prohibited, you stopped. So you followed whatever Rasulullah said, do, that's the next noor. The light. The Allah Ta'ala says that you, the Prophet says that you used to follow my sunnah. What I told you to stop, you stop. What I told you to do, you did it. And Allah's Nabi Sam is, His glory is the same. There are two things here. Allah says, whatever He tells you to do, whatever He says to leave, you leave. Whatever He says take, take it. Whatever He says leave, you leave it. That's the understanding. So Rasulullah SAW also taught us that tonight, this is what Aisha Sadiqa told us, what this night is for. So today you do tawbah, repent, you will attain the night of Barat, Laylatul Barat. Understand now the purpose? So how much noise there is in the world today amongst the Muslimin, what's happening, what's not happening, the poor understanding of Laylatul Barat, fireworks, graveyards, food, and we're just wasting this opportunity. Wasting. But the point is something else. The learning is something else. Do you understand what I'm saying? Tawbah an-nasuha, do you understand that? Now, do you want to do tawbah? Do you want to repent? Then now Allah has given us the method that do. You could say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allah says for tawbah, there's a whole verse in Surah Mumtahina in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, O my Nabi, when the believing women come to you and seek tawbah, when the believing women, yes, Allah is addressing both, men as well. So this is the method of doing tawbah now, Allah is teaching us in the Quran. Oh my Prophet, when the believing women come, and they are mu'minat, Allah is saying in Surah Mumtahina. These are believing women Allah is speaking about, not disbelievers. The believing women and men, when they will come to you, oh my Nabi, my Prophet. And this silsila will continue till Qiyamah, this action, because there's no Prophet now. So oh Shaykh, when the students come to you, enable them to do tawbah. So tawbah an-nasuh, There is a good and excellent method that you can do tawbah yourself. You'll be just half cooked, half baked, and shaitan will attack you and he'll do waswasa and your desires will destroy you. So do tawbah. We follow the sunnah where Allah Ta'ala taught the sahaba that you do tawbah at the hands of a teacher and he can do your islah. Who's after the repenting, you're not dying. You have to live in the world. You have to challenge the world. You have to fight your nafs and shaitan. So you need guidance. You need a teacher to assist you. To assist you, who look after you, who you can consult with. And you see him and he sees you sometimes, like tonight, you are seeing your teacher and he sees you and you see him. And mashallah, by seeing each other, even in seeing each other in the gathering, there's islah, improvement. SubhanAllah, you talk to each other, there's discussion, there's learning, there's islah. Am I right, Imran? Tell me. Just like tonight. SubhanAllah, someone said, Hazrat Sahib, I came to ask you something and you have solved my problem just by speaking a few words. Many thousands. The student can't solve this problem. Allah Ta'ala enables him to come to a good gathering. When a student has a niyyah to do islah, improve, Allah says, jahadu fina lanahdihum subulana. From such places and talks and bayans and nights like this, Allah Ta'ala solves the problems, all of us. We hear the good things. So there's a condition with tawbah. Go sit in the gathering of a wali Allah, a sheikh, a teacher, take his hands. He can do islah. Not this, oh my sheikhs in India, Pakistan, in Africa, you never seen him, you never met him, never spoken to him. We think tawbah is, oh, he's taught me la ilaha illallah, do this many tawbah, and that's tawbah. That's not tawbah. By doing dhikrullah on its own, tawbah is that lying should come out, backbiting should come out, pride should come out, showing off should come out, big head should come out. Haq, the rights of society, should give the rights to your relatives, friends, and khulus and sincerity, kibr should go, and all these haya and modesty should come in your life. This is tawbah. Will this just come automatically? Overnight? All of these positive factors without the sheikh, teacher, without the company of a teacher, you can never develop as a Muslim. That these are reflected by the teacher to the student. No sahabi from more than 100,000 sahaba, they didn't become sahaba through Quran, reading Quran, or tabligh, or speeches, or reading books. Rather by seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did they become sahaba. By seeing him. There came an idol worshipper, he used to do adultery, beating, killing their daughters. He came to the company of the Prophet ﷺ. He saw the Prophet ﷺ with Iman, he became the Sahabi. Until Qiyamah, no Muslim can be the dust on the heels of the Sahabi. That's the tazkiyah that they got from the Prophet ﷺ. That was their status, the rank they attained. Even today, the Sheikh does the same duty with his students. The same duty. Otherwise, the Muslims today would never be successful. A more worse generation is to come. More dirty generation of fitna fasad will come. When Dajjal comes out, and the most pious Muslim, thousands of ulama will submit for Dajjal, the ulama of their time. That's the danger that's going to come. And they will accept him as the greatest. Thousands of ulama scholars will submit to Dajjal. And we are close to that generation now. We're close to that. So weak will be the ummah, the iman, we can imagine, we will stamp on our iman and crush it. And that's the state we're in today. Within a second we sell iman. Within a second we sell our iman today. One job, we sell our iman for a job. For a salary, we sell our iman. Because we are in the wrong place with the wrong people and we sell our deen. We want to sacrifice all our deen for dunya. Just for 4 taka, £4 we sell our iman. £4, £4,000. And ourselves, we say, no, yaar, I couldn't help it, it was a minor. Oh, you ask a scholar. We don't even go to the pious scholars, we go to weak people. Is this jai? Is this permissible? I've done hijrah, I've come to this country, should have come here, to this country. This girl I got married to, should have come here for this purpose. We never ask, oh yeah, I'm married, I'm here now, I'll just do what I have to do. Do it, do it. It's a minor. It's acceptable. And the actions we want to do, we just want to do them. We go to the false people. My friends, those sacred places that we left under the sun that we don't earn objective money. Madinatul Manawara. All of us are sitting there earning for the wrong purpose. No masjid, we don't have the tawfiq to go and pray in the Masjid Nabawi. We're going to Medina. Just maal, wealth, assets. What's the enjoyment? What have we attained? And there I've seen such people that definitely have love for Medina. Dr. Noor Muhammad Saab. MashaAllah was a darvesh, a unique human being he was. When I used to go, they used to come to meet me. And Khandak, he had a dusty mud hut, 30, 40 years. He was old. He said, with my beard, I swept Masjid al-Nabawi. He was a consultant doctor. I said, I came here, I swear by Allah, I had so much love with Medina. I said, I will die here, but I will not leave here. Even if my visa cancels, but I'm sincere, I will go and live in a mud hut. My life I hid in his kitabs. He gave me books to read, such great kitabs. He was a great person, great Muslim. his verses, his poems. And mashallah, he used to come there to meet me when I was there. And when I was there in Masjid Nabawi, staying there, he used to come there, mashallah, to meet me. And mashallah, he thought he was a fakir. He considered, he was sincere. All life long, he spent in Medina. Sacrificed his life. He had ishq. Problem, we go there, money, wealth, this job, I'll get status, salary, hijrah, migration. Is it for the sake of Allah? Or is it for the deen? Or is it for the dunya? We have to ask ourselves. So tonight, let's spend the night properly. Get the objective, we have to do tawbah, repent. So to repent, connect yourself with a teacher, with a sheikh, put your hand in the hand of the sheikh. Do tawbah here, yourself, do the tawbah with your teacher. And ask the teacher to advise you, to develop you, have a connection with the teacher. A nisbat, for the sake of Allah you're doing this, not for the teacher. We think we look for big sheikh, scholar, mufti, big name, books, Shaykhul Hadith. It's not necessary that he will improve you as Muslim. As a Tanvi sahab went to Makkah, to Haji sahab, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki. And look at that, a scholar, Hazrat Tanvi sahab, Hazrat Rashid Gangohi sahab, scholars. And who did they make their sheikh? He wasn't a scholar. Haji sahab, a person who's sincere, then Allah will give him the sheikh who will benefit him. In this world and the next. And some people by force know, yaar, I don't want to get a sheikh here. What would people say if I get a sheikh here who's not known? He becomes a munafiq, hypocrite. Therefore, people, you are showing you what your teacher is and you're doing islah to show off to people. Immediately go where you see benefit. Your heart's opening up. You can benefit from the teacher. You're seeing the deen. You're learning the deen. Leave the dunya. Don't look for status. Don't say to people, I'm a big scholar, mufti, and I need a scholar, mufti as a sheikh. No, look inwardly, how big a sinner. I need islah. Improvement. Today, if I improve myself, I say, "Sku anfusukum ahlikum nara." Today, if I improve myself, I can't do tarbiyah of my children unless I'm correct. Because Allah is ordering me, O male, no darul ulum will improve my children. No institute will improve my children. So if Allah orders me, no one's father can improve your children, no human being. First, you have to correct yourself. If you wear imamah, then your children will imamah before you. You pray salah, they'll pray before you. If you have tasbih in your hand, your children will have tasbih to dhikr. You will need to convince your children, they'll copy you. I've seen this. Many children emulating their parents. Little children, he doesn't know anything about deen. I saw him, mashallah, went to the, he's doing wudu, washing hands, sunnah, where he's sitting down, eating food. No one taught from outside. He looked at the parents. So how they're learning this, the children, they're copying, we're surprised, we're sending our children to institutes, dormi. He don't do anything. Everything he said, Azazab, I saw my father doing this. So straight he goes, puts his legs down, sits in the sunnah way, subhanallah. And little child this is. He's eating in the sunnah way, in the proper sunnah manner. Then just dua. Proper dua. Who taught that child this? Just this, when the father is correct, then the son is correct, the daughter is correct. If the mother observes hijab, parda, then the daughter will have parda and hijab. If the mother has haya modesty, then the daughter will have haya modesty. What do? I'll make my daughter hafiza, alima, and the children, our daughters, run from our home. Why? Because we don't practice Islam ourselves. We say, my daughter said, you, my mum, used to go to cinema, watch films, and you threw me to Darul Uloom. Then let's do it ourselves then. Is this deen? This is not deen. And today our generation, they're sensitive, my friends. They see things. They see the father. Yes? And the father, that mashallah, he sits and he's listening, he's giving speeches, lectures, and giving dawah to people. And he says big things on the minbar. And he's giving khutbah. And what's the different character inside? Inside, he's not like that in the house. That's a big contrast they make, definitely, to the children, our new generation. We show them the wrong thing. They hate it, they run, the buggy, they hate this thing. They say, there's a wrong deen that my parents serve. How can these people be right? They're wrong, they say, the children. And many of our new generation are saying, they run away from deen because they see the contrast in the life. For the sake of Allah, let's improve ourselves. So this is a challenge for us to live in this country. It's a big challenge for us to be on the deen, steadfast. We'll be asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah says that for good things in the world, you shouldn't send your children to institutes. First, be careful yourself, your own character, your life, your home, your family. Then you can see how your children will behave properly. The character you have, your wife, your as parents, that's what the children will emulate. We say, our children send darulu, masjid, madrasa, leave him there. I've seen these things myself. That, and forget all of that. First yourself, you're busy in your business, your dunya, your wife's busy in working and career. You have no time for your children. You put them in a nursery and you come back and you see them cheating and lying after that. Then, because you have no rights to order them after that, because you haven't given them example. So this is how you behave with your children. Mostly people who are working, career, money, career, then why do you have children then? Why do you have children? And we're in that place. Was a very big challenge for us in this country to improve ourselves and our children in this environment. So this is the night of Barat's coming with this message. Why? Because Allah is Rahim, He's merciful, He is gracious, He loves us, He wants to give us a chance, He wants us to improve. So today, this gathering, if we change, all of us today, I swear by Allah, will be such a big impact. With the blessings of this gathering, Noor will spread around this country if we learn from this gathering. With what? What's the message? Halwa? For the sake of the broken heart, Allah created the human being. Otherwise, there was nothing lacking obeying and worshipping Allah in the universe. We weren't born for sajda salah. The angels are already doing this beautifully in their millions and trillions. Allah didn't create us for prostration, worship, prayer. Allah had a nation, the alim, the arif. Shaitan was everything, he had the knowledge. He was seeing everything, he saw the angels worshipping, praying, he saw everything. But he had a different nature. And we are different creatures, human beings. So don't deceive ourselves. Let's not deceive ourselves. 5 times if you pray salah, the fard Allah Ta'ala has given to me and you. 5 times Allah knows that the Muslims, they're capable of this. If we pray 5 times salah, the fard, that Allah has ordered us to do. After that, don't commit the sin, save yourself from the sins, do tawbah. That person is a wali Allah. That's the great mujahada in this day and age. My brothers, my colleagues, so this night we've understood now, we've understood properly or wrong, I don't know, I tried my best to explain, which I learned from my pious predecessors, from the shoes of our mashaykh. I learned the knowledge, I tried to share that message to you, my colleagues. So I'm sorry if I've said something wrong or beyond my capability, my strength and understanding. If it's come wrong to you, I ask for apologies, forgiveness from my heart. But with a true, sincere heart, I try to share that message with you. I'm not criticizing anyone here. I'm not mocking anyone. I don't think I'm better than you. No. We're all in the same boat. All of us are sailing in the same boat. So tonight, we should understand this night. And we should spend the night, ask Allah for tawbah. May Allah give us the tawfiq, our family folk, our relatives, our friends, anyone who's heard this, with a true heart, sit on the prayer mat, do tawbah. If Allah gives the tawfiq, then go to a sheikh and get bayah, pledge allegiance to him, and make him your teacher. According a sheikh who, don't think this silsila, that order, no, we need islah. We need to become better human beings, so that with friendship he can develop us and make us better Muslims. And he can look at our defects and improve us, not praise us. He can take our defects out of our life. Many defects go inside, many sicknesses, many impurities. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq for this, and you also, may Allah give the tawfiq, that this night we get the ability to spend the night with tawbah, repent. If you get tawbah, ask Allah for tawbah, and be grateful after that to praise Allah, etc. But ask Allah for tawbah, repentance first. Wa akhru dawana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي سواشي محمد وزودياتي وحياتي وصلي على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سلم تسليما دائما ونعوذ بك سيدي المسيد اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا حسنا وشتنا خطبنا عبدنا كل السعيد اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما اخرت وما اسررت وما علمت وما صدقت لا اله الا انت ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا فانك انت الوهاب لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا فانك انت الوهاب يا مصدق القلوب سخر قلوبنا لا تعطيك اللهم ثبتنا بالإيمان وعمتنا إيمان وأشرنا الجمل بهمتنا والإيمان اللهم نسلق سيحة في إيمان الإيمان في أصنعه نجاة إجتاء ورحمة منك وعافية ومفرد مرة اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين نبيين صدقين شهداء حسن أولئك لبيك اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وبشرنا بسنته يا كريم اللهم انا نسلك من خير ما سالك منه ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استوزن منه ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم انت المستعان عليك ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه سينته وجهه Amen.